morning and welcome to the October 2023 ADM Farm Direct Fertilizer Report. This monthly conversation is intended to help you stay on top of global fertilizer prices and buy in bulk at the most opportune times. I'm your host, Jessica Alderson, and today we have Byron Schmidt to speak on the grain markets, BK Morris to speak on global fertilizer, Theo Gunther to speak about our regen program, and our ADM fertilizer team to wrap us up. Byron, why don't you kick us off and give us a little insight on what's going on grain-wise?
Yeah, good morning, Jessica. Good morning, everyone. Byron Schmidt, I trade our corn position in the north. I think I'll just start out really by where we're at on crop progress and harvesting. USDA said on Monday, corn were around 60% harvested, which is within kind of where we are in a five-year average. You look at the beans, we're 76% harvested throughout the country. Feels like this fall, definitely, we've had a lot of stopping and starting and not really a real big harvest push, but we're plugging along. It feels like most of the beans are just about out. There might be a few areas that are going to struggle to get the last off. Obviously, we're dealing with rains throughout the country, and even in the north, we're dealing with some snow and some winter weather. So getting the last of those beans might be a challenge, but more moving on to corn, progressing quite well. Thought I would just recap a little bit on the last USDA report and where we are for production. The October report in the U.S. raising over a 15 billion bushel corn crop. The USDA has our corn yield in the U.S. at 173 bushel yield, which puts us with a carryout of 2.1 billion bushels. The last couple of years, obviously, carryouts have been tight. We've had higher prices. Our last year's carryout was shy of 1.4 billion. So we are adding back to supply, and it does feel like in areas we're seeing a little bit better yields, I think. So as we move along, it'll really be more about how demand comes through the bean crop. We've got a 4.1 billion bushel bean crop, according to the USDA, with just shy of a 50 bushel yield, which puts us a carryout of 220 million bushels. So the bean carryout in the U.S. is still pretty tight, but I think the biggest issue that we're looking at and what we've dealt with is Brazil. Soybean production in Brazil continues to grow, approaching 6 billion bushels, and they continue to have more acres, and they're getting a lot better at what they're doing over there. 112 million acres, which is up from 79 million acres back in 2014 and 15. So we continue to see more acres and better production. So 6 billion bushels of beans over there, and they raised 3.5 billion bushels in 2014 and 15. So we continue to see the pressure from South America with production in our U.S. market. And that's definitely taken away some of our export opportunities here out of the PNW and out of the Gulf. You look at the production in Brazil on corn, it continues to grow 4.7 billion bushels, up from 3.3 billion bushels back in 2014 and 15. So more acres, more production. I think the big theme is, feels like we're going to raise a really good crop here in the U.S. South America had a good crop. Obviously, we're watching to see what happens with the weather here this year as they're planning. But definitely, we've replenished supplies of grains. And we're starting to see that here in our markets a little bit, too, where we're putting carries back in the market. We had really good basis levels, a lot better prices here over the last few years than we had production issues in parts of the world. And feels like a lot of that is changing here as we move forward. So going forward, it's more about the supply push coming versus demand pull we have seen over the last couple of years. The Chinese were good buyers of U.S. grains here, corn, beans, and milo here over the last couple of years. So moving forward, it's more about finding that demand. The supply is there and just how that comes into the market and how that moves forward. I think the other thing to watch, obviously, we've got a couple of wars and obviously turbulence throughout the world, but how does that affect our grain markets moving forward, watching that? And I think the other big thing to note is just the higher interest rate environment. We're going through an environment where money was cheap, it was basically free, and now you look at where things are at in this environment when you're approaching 8% mortgage and operating loans and looking at notes where it is now, it's definitely something that will go into the calculations here moving forward. So bigger carry markets, grain worth more down the road, obviously, we'll be looking for demand to kind of perk things up, but we do have the supply. And I guess that's my main theme here this morning. What it looks like is just how are we going to see demand fill in to move forward and how that affects the markets, because the supply is going to be there. So we're setting into cheaper prices for grains here moving forward and looking for demand. That's kind of where I'll stop unless somebody has some questions, and I'll stay on.
Perfect. I think that was a good recap. We definitely have a lot of things that are staring us in the face with the carries, supply, and demand. So with that, BK, with grain markets and everything that's going on, you want to fill us in on global fertilizer and what you're seeing?
Good morning, everybody. This is BK with Fertilizer Week, CRU. The big story, as usual, is urea. The Indians have played their tender. Ultimately, they indicated about 1.5 million. They're still well short of that, and they don't seem to have a problem with that at all. As of very early this morning, they had secured about 1.13 million of the 1.5 they indicated they wanted. This morning, they said they'd give potential sellers another 24 hours to meet the price that they obtained from other suppliers, which was around $404 a metric CFR. They've already locked up, as I said, about 1.13, but the main issue for them is they've been perfectly happy doing a little bit here, a little bit there, and I don't think they're going to change their tone, certainly not on price, between now and then. The bad news, to some extent, is that despite the fact that the Indians really seem to have been able to get the price they wanted for what they've bought so far, the U.S. is still well below that international market. That is not unusual for this time of year. There's not a lot of motivation for folks to bring in urea to the U.S. because all it would do is sit at NOLA or at warehouses until the spring when it's needed. So we'll probably see the shortfall that we're seeing on arrivals have more of an impact in the new year than we're going to see right now. There just aren't buyers out there willing to pay the equivalent price. Yesterday, we got down into the 350s. Doesn't mean it's going to stay there. Certainly, if enough people jumped in, it could move up rather quickly, to state the obvious. But sellers had been holding out for 370 for quite a while. They would get close, and then the market would fall back down because, obviously, there's just more supply still available from overseas than here. And what that means, to some extent, is that people who do go out looking for imports at this time of the year may actually be able to bring it in at a lower cost than the Indians were able to do. So I have a hard time being bullish on urea for Q4. That will change in Q1, but today, no. On DAP and MAP, the U.S., again, is at the market level. We're seeing prices in Brazil slightly below the U.S. for MAP. The U.S. certainly is the best end-user market for MAP. That's not coming from one of the, either Russia or Morocco, which, of course, are affected by the countervailing duties. CRU's position on that is that that's still going to remain likely into March when the scheduled review by the federal agencies is supposed to be complete, and they're supposed to release what they think the sanctions should be. The expectation is that they'll be lower simply because their original numbers got kicked out by the courts, but we'll have to wait and see. In the meantime, no Moroccan product outside of some triple is coming here. Very little Russian product is coming in here, and we don't expect that to change. On the potash side, really the most exciting thing in the world that's happened on potash in the last couple of months is the $20 increase we've seen from Canada. You guys are close enough to that, and I'm sure the ADM folks will talk about how well that's gone over, et cetera. I do want to spend a couple extra minutes here talking about dry nitrogen demand in general overseas. We're seeing the European buyers are taking a page out of the Indian handbook. They're buying very hand-to-mouth, whether it's dry nitrates or urea, and this is making it difficult, of course, for the price to move up. The main application months in Europe are a little earlier than ours when it comes to dry nitrogen. That's in February and March. And the European market is also getting supply from Venezuela in the last month. That is an unusual trade pattern. The Venezuelans don't usually go that far afield. Typically, they have preferred to sell regionally, and what they couldn't get rid of locally, they would offer sometimes for the U.S. For whatever reason, they've decided to spread their sales offer more recently. I'm going to stop there. Let the ADM guys come in with information that's probably a lot more important. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, BK. I definitely think you give a good overview in terms of the world, and our ADM team will definitely break it down to what that means for the U.S. farmer and where we go from here. So I appreciate that insight. Before we jump into our fertilizer team, wanted to give Theo Gunther, one of our region specialists in Iowa, a chance to talk a little bit about our region ag program. If you deliver to an ADM facility, there's probably a high likelihood that we've got some kind of region program that you can take advantage of. And just wanted to make sure that you're aware of all of the opportunities that you have in terms of working with ADM. So Theo, if you are able to come off mute, want to just give us a brief overview of the program as a whole and some opportunities that we have here before the 17th of November.
Yes, Jess, thank you for bringing me on here this morning. And I just want to give a quick overview of what we have available through the Regenerations program. So step back, ADM Regenerations is our farmer incentive program for farmers to deliver us grains with a carbon intensity score. Also, if you implement cover crops, we can incentivize and pay you for using that practice. And we also have an offer through Farm Direct Fertilizer to incentivize the use of a BioWish biological product that we offer through our Farm Direct Fertilizer team that is going to increase yields potentially and improve carbon intensity score. So when it comes down to where you do business with ADM, we've got a lot of different options. Our cover crop incentives are available in multiple states. Anything that has corn, soybeans, and wheat in rotation are eligible. Those do not have a direct delivery requirement. We also have several delivery-specific location incentives that are going to offer per bushel payments to farmers who deliver us farm direct on a producer account. So you can calculate your carbon intensity score of your crop, and whatever you deliver to us is going to have an additional incentive attached to it. We also, this year, have an incentive for the use of BioWish crop liquid that you would purchase through our Farm Direct fertilizer team if you participate in the Regenerations program and use our platform to calculate your carbon intensity score. You'd get a rebate on the purchase price of BioWish. So we really see this as a new line of options for farmers, whether you're using an existing practice like cover crops, whether you're calculating your carbon intensity score for the grain you deliver to us, or you're taking advantage of products that we have that are likely to increase yield and improve the carbon intensity of any bushels that you deliver to us or produce on your farm. We've got an array of options, and something to consider here before the end of the year. We have the deadline of November 17th for enrollment, and that can be done through our partners at Farmers Business Network, who are managing our enrollment process and also the data collection process for the field level data that underpins the calculations and the documentation of practices that are being used by farmers. So encourage you to look into what options we have. It's available in 18 states. Corn, soybeans, and wheat all have programs. Whether you buy fertilizer from us or sell us grain, or if you are simply using a practice like cover crops somewhere in the 18 states where we have programs available, there's a lot to offer, and we're looking for farmers to participate. So please consider what we have to offer on these programs, and going forward, as you think about how you grow your crop, how you're including that in your marketing plan, and how you're taking advantage of calculating these metrics on your farm and using them to add value to your crop. The deadline, again, is November 17th. Our enrollment process is all done through Farmers Business Network. They are our data collection partner. If you want to learn more information, we have our website, admadvantage.com/regen, or you can search ADM Regenerations. That's RE with a colon and then generations. You should be able to find more information or contact one of the ADM team members that you interact with.
Thank you so much for that, Theo. If you have questions, definitely reach out to your sales rep. Just to keep on with time here, want to bring on our ADM fertilizer team. We're going to start with Noah Bishop and just kind of go down the line of NPKS with he and Nick Peterson to talk a little bit about everything that's going on. So Noah, would you lead off here with some nitrogen commentary?
Absolutely. Good morning, everybody. Urea prices have moderated since we last talked a month ago. We've seen price declines from 420-ish a straight ton FOP NOLA to 370-ish a straight ton FOP NOLA today for a nearby barge. The moderation in pricing was caused at least partially by waning demand for prompt barges in the U.S., as we've now passed the deadline for a barge to leave NOLA and to get to the Twin Cities before the Mississippi River closes for the winter. In my view, prices have also moderated due to higher than expected imports into Brazil during August and September, which is the market less concerned about a potential bidding war for urea between India and Brazil that we talked about last time, as they both prepare for their peak demand season or application season in early 2024. As expected, we have also seen the Indians issue an additional purchasing tender for urea, targeting the purchase of around 1.5 million tons that BK alluded to. This tender will close tomorrow, and general expectation is that India will be able to secure, 1.2, 1.3 million tons, which, barring major domestic production issues, should actually take them out of the demand side of the equation until late Q4 or perhaps even early Q1. As a result of this India tender, November availability globally has been tightened, and any large slippage in prompt price for material to ship nearby seems unlikely. However, given that Indian demand will largely be off the table for the next couple months post-tender, and given the Brazilians continue to get ample supplies of urea, the way to higher prices driven from the demand side of the equation as we approach the end of the calendar year looks less and less likely in my view. This being said, low probability supply side shocks due to the war raging in the Middle East should likely put some risk premium into urea, given urea is an energy derivative product. And so I would be very clear that sharp upside price increases are not off the table. There's just a low probability of that occurring. However, holding all else constant, fundamentals do generally look weaker as we get into Q1. And so having some exposure to the potential downside seems pertinent to a buyer with a reasonable risk appetite. If we approach a 330 NOLA type number, which is low 400s in the Northern Plains, and for the Canadians equates to roughly, you know, high 600, maybe low $700 Canadian a metric ton, I do expect demand to come forward in a meaningful way at that price level for fill tons, and that will likely sustain prices. So by no means do I think the bottom of the market is falling out. I do think we have some room to moderately move down in price, so to spur demand. This being said, since August, I have indicated that Q2 price ideas around 370 to 380 US dollars a straight ton seem reasonable, and that the asymmetric downside risk for this time period should be attractive for buyers. And for the last few months, quite frankly, we've seen very little change in deferred price ideas. I continue to hold this view, given the lack of carry from nearby barges to spring relative to carrying costs, which had obviously increased due to higher costs of money. For buyers wanting to apply this fall, I'm not convinced that interior prices will see much change over the coming weeks, particularly if you're in the Northern Plains or Canada. In Canada, we have seen a myriad of domestic production issues that have prolonged the supply tightness since summer fill. And so we would expect elevated basis levels for fall application and potentially regional spot outages. So I'd recommend if you're a Canadian looking to apply this fall, if you haven't got too much snow already, that you be in touch with your sales rep. Overall, then, my recommendation is twofold to our customers. I continue to recommend, if possible, to lock in production margin by selling grain as you make fertilizer purchases if it's conducive to do so in turning a profit. Alternatively, I think buyers should have some fill urea bought to hedge against the sharp upside risks that I sort of alluded to. But remaining partially exposed to some moderate potential downside seems reasonable for a savvy buyer, you know, with a corresponding risk appetite and a buyer that understands the risk of doing so. So I hope that's helpful, Jess. I will be around at the end of the call to answer any questions, as I understand this is sort of a broad overview of a relatively complicated market.
For sure. And I think putting the recommendations on there just based on what you're seeing today is a great piece. Nick, why don't you jump on here and let's go into phosphates and what you're seeing in that market. And then if you want to touch on potash as well in AMS.
Yeah, happy to cover FOSS here. I don't know if Ben's going to step in here for potash and AMS. I'll try to keep in my lane just a little bit here, Jeff. He's got a much better understanding than I do. On the phosphate side, it's been just a little bit wild here from my perspective, trying to get decent comfort with price direction. I guess to not bury the lead, the recommendation today, we are seeing pretty attractive winter fill value start to come out. We'll have ours out here shortly as well. The recommendation is about 25% of your spring needs. Makes sense for us at these winter fill values to kind of layer in at least some sort of supply. The pieces that we're paying a lot of attention to, a firming international market. Right now, the U.S. is a discounted market on DAP compared to the rest of the globe, roughly 585, 595 sort of market in the U.S. And we're north of 600 in Australia, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and India is kind of the only holdout there at a 595 equivalent to us. On the MAP side, MAP supply is just really difficult to find CBD-free origins and to supply that product. That spread has come back down, so it's a little bit more attractive. We're somewhere around $55 to $65 spread on MAP, depending on the market today. The pieces that I'm paying the most attention to that kind of give us a little bit of hint on price direction are relatively firm input costs for the production of phosphates. Good demand throughout pretty much all the major demand points, Brazil, India, in the U.S., and good consumption here for fall fertilizers. And then there's really a lot of uncertainty related to the countervailing duty case, where we should have a little bit more clarity here in about a week. I kind of expect really no changes, at least for winter fill here. We're seeing international suppliers sold out really through the end of the year for the most part on all phosphates. So the soonest that we could have any sort of change is really into Q1. So those are mostly bullish factors. I guess what makes us wrong in our recommendation is the obvious question. Some news came out today related to India and their nutrient-based subsidy. And for those that aren't aware, India subsidizes their domestic farmer with a handful of different pieces. They have a maximum retail price as well as a subsidy on the importer side to allow the Indian farmer to be competitive. If you read the headline today through some of the publications, that subsidies went down to about $175 a ton on DAP and seems catastrophic. As you kind of dig into the details there, and I've spent a bunch of time this morning trying to make sure I had my mind right here, there is special support through the end of the year into Q1, where they'll have to go through and reevaluate their subsidy rate in January. And then they have a handful of public entities that go through what's called a tender process, which Noah alluded to, which functions a little bit like a reverse auction. Well, they'll come out and say, hey, here is a tender for urea or DAP. And they'll solicit the best offers from the global market, in which they'll choose to buy at whatever the quantity is, at whatever the lowest price is, and counter all of the other offers to match the lowest price or the L1 price through that tender process. They have been really firm on their maximum price that they'll pay is roughly a $5.95 CFR basis. The public entities that go through that tender process are still buying at that $5.95 rate, even though the subsidy has been reduced from that $5.95 down to really what I'd call a $5.25 CFR market. And with all of this kind of in context and how far forward they've bought through Q4 and how their subsidy rate will be reviewed in January, the headline makes you feel like you should be really bearish on phosphates, but the substance of it really feels like it's more of a headline that's trying to influence the market, and we're kind of just going to brush this off is my expectation as it sits today. So a lot of rambling there. Happy to answer any questions that folks might have and try to add a little bit more clarity to a relatively complicated FOS market as it sits today. Thanks, Jess.
Awesome. Definitely a lot to think about, especially as we step into fall application time. Ben, if you are on, would you maybe help us put a bow on it talking about potash and AMS and then maybe a little bit of the logistics piece since that's a focus that we've had over the last couple calls?
Sure. Good morning, Jess. Good morning, everyone. We'll start off with potash, continuing to see very similar themes in what we discussed on the last call, and that's continuing to see firming potash values as it relates to challenging logistics, both on the river segment as well as rail delays out of Canada. To BK's point that he earlier alluded to, we've seen an uptick of $20 a ton led by Nutrien here coming out of Canada for additional fall material, setting the price to a benchmark price of $420 FOB for the Midwestern terminal. I look for values to stay firm on potash through the fall season as there has been a very large anhydrous ammonia book that has been sold for the intended use of fall application here. And I think we'll see more and more of that activity happen where we'll want to spread P&K in front of those ammonia rigs that then incorporate that P&K into the soil. So expect values to stay firm on potash through the fall season. Probably see some upticks as it relates to logistics constraints on not allowing product to get to certain markets as fast as application resumes. And of course, we'll see how that works with more plagued wet weather here that we've experienced for Northern Plains, Western Canada, and really a lot of the Midwest as well. Do expect to see a reset on potash after the fall season as we kind of wrap up demand, and should be a nominal reset of $20, $30 a ton. We'll have more guidance on that as we get through the month of November on kind of seeing what that possible reset looks like. On AMS, we continue to see, you know, more additional firming on that product. I think the recommendation has hopefully provided some value to a lot of the customers on this call of buying the AMS when that was a strong recommendation we had. That would still be the recommendation. And it looks to be that the price continues to be supportive with high ammonia cost, high sulfur cost. We're seeing our caprolactam industry that basically gets sold into the nylon industry struggling to be competitive, as well as the downturn from industrial demand and just from struggling economies where people aren't buying as many nylon-based products where that caprolactam ingredient goes into, and seeing some cost of production breaches on non-integrated producers that's allowed downtime to happen and allowed more strength in the AMS complex to firm. So still recommending getting the majority of your AMS locked in for spring. I don't see resets coming barring any sort of black swan events or major downturns from what other unexpected things come our way. Lastly, just to wrap up with logistics, still very challenging, although look to be improving, at least namely on the riverside with additional water that's starting to show up St. Louis, the south in that river segment that desperately needs it. And that's namely, I would say, Cairo South, namely more of the Memphis gauge, if anything, is what we're watching. So it looks like we've set an all-time low in that Memphis gauge that hit last week. We've improved from there, and it looks like additional water in the river system will continue to improve it over time. But by all means, we still continue to need rains to hit the Mississippi River tributary area. We will need that to get through, I would say, into the heart of the winter months, as it looks to be a drier than normal northern plains forecast that kind of feeds that segment, as well as the Ohio River Basin that also feeds that south of Cairo marketplace. More to come on that. Stay tuned. But rail continues to be a struggle. I think just reduction of normal crews and power and allowing normal goods to move through the network of the Class 1 railroads still seems to be an overall struggle in general throughout the Class 1 railroads. I think that'll continue to be challenging as more and more cold weather sets in for more difficult and challenging operating conditions. And so continue to see rail delays. I don't believe that that'll improve in time. I'll believe it when I see it. So Jess, back to you.
Awesome. I feel like that definitely rounded things out and gives everybody a perspective. And we've been talking about river rail truck capacity since June, July here, and not really any different outside of the fact that we're getting a little more moisture. So things hopefully will turn around and we'll keep going. You know, one thing that we offer that other folks don't is you can lock in pricing. You don't have to buy it and take possession of it. You can lock it in out into those deferred months, kind of to what Nick, Noah, and Ben were all alluding to. There's going to be a lot of opportunities. So don't forget that if you need to spend prepay dollars, do things like that, you do not have to take possession of it, as we offer pricing, you know, 18 months in advance. And if you want to go one step further, we can also look out to next fall and get you values as well as you're starting to make those crop budgets. With that, want to open it up for questions and thank everybody for taking the time to jump on the October call. Our next call is going to be December 6th. If you have questions or want to learn more about ADM Fertilizer, definitely check out the portal, look at pricing, things like that at fertilizer.admadvantage.com. And with that, we're going to open it up for some questions here.
Hey, Jess, could I bring up one more price topic?
Yeah, for sure. Go ahead, BK.
I apologize. I should have brought this up sooner. On ammonia, which I neglected to talk about, we had a deal at the U.S. Gulf yesterday at about $60 higher than previous business. Now, domestically, most of the, maybe even all of the pre-plant ammonia has already been priced. Nevertheless, the $60 increase in NOLA is in line with what we talked to you guys about a month ago, and that we saw another $50 rise possible at Tampa. And that will fall through to the domestic market for those suppliers who use Tampa as part of their indexing mechanism. So the Tampa deal hasn't been struck yet, but the $60 increase for barges at NOLA is certainly a sign that it's moving in the direction we thought.
Awesome. Thanks for that color. I definitely know that there's a few folks on here that are ammonia users, so I think that's really good context. All right. What questions are out there?
Curious if there's either I missed it or there wasn't any discussion about UAN this morning. I was curious about the opinions and thoughts there.
Okay, perfect. It was a little hard to hear you, but I think you were asking about UAN values. Noah or Ben, do you want to maybe tackle that one?
Yeah, sure, Jess. I'll take it. Yeah, I'll continue to see firming action on UAN through the start of our fertilizer year, starting in July. It seems that with the outages that we've had from a supply standpoint on several domestic production facilities, as well as the uptake in the programs from the price point we started out, that the forward sales book is well put on into January timeframe. As we see more and more moisture surface in the southern plains, namely the Texas market, but also parts of Oklahoma and Kansas, as well as having an El Nino forecast that should support additional moistures into the California and the PNW markets, those markets still have relatively decent demand in front of them that they're going to have to cover UAN for. So I don't see any reason that with further demand surfacing in some of these key markets that now have moisture that will support the sales book that would be then January into February, that allows domestic producers with the reduced turnarounds and plant outages that we've had, that a UAN continues to support higher price to come. Now, I don't think it's a drastic one, but I think it's stable to firm going through the Q4 into Q1 and then also the Q2 timeframe.
Awesome. Thanks, Ben. I did have someone text me kind of middle of the call after Theo spoke and had asked about what are the cover crop programs look like? What are some of the payments and things like that that are offered in terms of payment ranges and values? Theo, is that something you might be able to give some color on? I know it's going to be different for each state, but could you give us a little bit of info on that?
Right. So we have kind of a range of options. We have for cover crops payments that range from $10 to $25 per acre. Some of them are compatible with existing USDA programs. So if farmers are already using public cost share for practices. We do have a $10 an acre payment that is compatible with most of what they would be receiving from that. If they're not in USDA cost share, we have a program with USDA that can take that payment up to $25 an acre. There are some other qualifying factors on that that are detailed on our website and can definitely explain them to you if you're interested in those. Up $25 an acre for cover crops. For the per bushel incentives, our corn programs are between 2 and 4 cents per bushel. 2 cents if you have the carbon intensity score calculated and delivered to us. 4 cents if that score ends up being below the facility average that you are delivering to. So incentivizing grain that has got a lower carbon intensity score calculated with it. Also for the BioWish, the program we had this year was $2 per acre on any acres that received BioWish and participated in doing the emission scoring or the carbon intensity scoring on the fields that received the product. So that would come back to the farmer who used the product and completed participation in regeneration. So those are stackable as well. So if you're doing cover crops and delivering grain to us, those incentives can stack on top of each other. Oh, I forgot to mention for soybeans on many of the river terminal programs, those range from 5 to 7 cents per bushel with the same qualifications. 5 cents if the score is calculated, 7 if they fall below a benchmark. So not huge amounts per bushel, but when you're adding them up, they do add to the margin and something to consider as you market your grain going forward, whether you have that score calculated and then how you use it.
Awesome. Thanks for that, Theo. All right, we'll wrap it up. We appreciate you all for jumping on the call. If you have any questions, reach out to your Farm Direct sales rep, and we will talk to you December 6th. Have a great rest of your day.